A story from the Gospel of John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back, able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and worshiped him. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. This past Christmas, when I was decorating our tree, I came across an ornament from 2020, the COVID year. It had a picture of the Grinch, the year, and the words, "stink, stank, stunk." That characterization also certainly applied to 2025. 2025 was a dark year. We could all list many of the events that made it so dark. Historian Heather Cox Richardson said that just when we thought things couldn't get worse, just when we thought we had hit rock bottom, we found there was a sub-basement. If we had hoped that the new year would bring relief, we soon found out there was no respite. Since the beginning of the year, the United States has started three wars. There is a pall of darkness over us. There are two versions of the gospel for today in the lectionary. The one you heard, the second one, was a shorter one. A couple of things were missing from that version. One was the well-known verse, "I am blind, but now I see." In both versions, the Pharisees refused to see, but they were especially obtuse in the first version. They asked the formerly blind man how it was he could see now. The man explained what Jesus had done, but the Pharisees did not believe him. So they went to ask his parents, who said, "He is of age, ask him." The Pharisees went back to the once blind man and asked him again how Jesus had cured him. The man said, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" This was not the answer the Pharisees wanted to hear. After a further exchange with the formerly blind man, the Pharisees angrily demanded, "Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. In the gospel, we have the story of a blind man who can now see the light, and the story of the Pharisees who refused to see. Instead of appreciating a miracle and rejoicing that a blind man can see, they got caught up in the strict wording of the rules. They said Jesus broke the rules because he healed someone on the Sabbath. The Pharisees could not see the bigger picture. When I was younger and heard about them, I thought, "I am nothing like them." But as I've gotten older, I realize that sometimes I am like the Pharisees. I don't always want to hear or see things that challenge my preconceptions or my long-held assumptions. How about us? Can we see the light? Will we see the light? I have a 3-part plan for us. Discover and nourish the thin spaces, practice gratitude, and become the light. If I were sitting where you are sitting and heard me talking about nourishing thin spaces and practicing gratitude as an antidote to the state of the world, I would say, come on, that's the best you got? Even if I were a gifted or brilliant speaker, it's highly unlikely that my words on gratitude and empathy would change the hearts and mind of those officials and billionaires at the top of our system of government and corporations. But appreciating thin places and practicing gratitude can make our lives and the lives of those around us better. Thin places is a Celtic Christian term dating back to the 5th century. They are locations where the spiritual world touches the earthly. As Joan Chittister says, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. We experience the presence of the divine. Traditionally, thin places have been considered to be physical geographical locations, such as destinations for pilgrimages. Last fall, I visited the Grand Canyon for the first time. It is a thin place for me. I experience a sense of awe and wonder, a sense of sacred and of timelessness. A number of Native American tribes consider the Grand Canyon a sacred place. For example, the Hopi view it as a pathway to the spiritual world. But a thin place doesn't have to be majestic, like mountains, or timeless like the ocean. Joan Chittister writes that the thin places reveal God's presence, moving us away from the noise and anxiety of the world to deep connection. She finds thin places in quiet reflection, a shared struggle, even in mundane tasks. The goal, she says, is to recognize these moments, slow down, and be fully present so we can experience the miraculous. In a world like ours, there is so much daily chaos, some of it by design, that our brains start to shut down in order to cope with the stress and intensity. It's similar to a circuit breaker. A circuit breaker interrupts the flow of electricity during an overload to prevent overheating. We need a similar positive interruption from the intensity of our times. We need the thin places to slow us down so we can experience the miraculous and the presence of the divine. Those things help us breathe. Theologian Marcus Borg, another former Lutheran, says thin places are places where we experience God all around us. They are places where the dividing line between oneself and the world disappears. The sacred becomes present to us. He said, the Christian life is about opening of the heart, of the self to the Spirit of God by spending time in thin places, those places and practices through which we become open to and nourished by the mystery in whom we move and live and have our being. An open heart is awakened to wonder and gratitude. Though we often think of it that way, the world is not ordinary. Nature can be a thin place, even if it is not a sacred landscape. We can literally find thin places in our own backyard. In our house, there is a small tree right outside the back door. Every spring, birds build a nest in that tree. When they aren't in the tree, we peek in to see how they are constructing the nest. If the eggs have been laid, how the baby birds are doing. We once saw the bird parents teach a baby bird how to fly. As the poet Walt Whitman said, as to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. Whether our experiences are thin places or miracles, they open our minds to the wonders of all this life. we step into the light of appreciation and gratitude. While writing this homily, I realized I'm not very grateful. I'm angry. I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm talking about vengeful anger that the United States has allowed itself to become an authoritarian nation. I'm indignant over the corruption, lies, arrogance, and cruelty, enabling an apathy that has led to the current situation. But if I choose anger, I'm dwelling in darkness. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." If I choose anger over gratitude, as a practical matter, I deprive myself of the medical benefits of gratitude, lowering the blood pressure, relief from stress, the chemicals, dopamine and serotonin, the brain's feel-good chemicals. If I choose hatred over gratitude, I deprive myself of the appreciation of thin places, of the mystery of the spirit, of treasuring what's good around me, family, friends, and the good people do in the world. I deprive myself of light. As Thich Nhat Hanh said, being overwhelmed by too much suffering can destroy our capacity to love or take appropriate action. We have to know our limits and find a healthy balance between being in touch with what is terrible in life and what is wonderful. We need to know how to water the good, positive seeds within us so we can bear the more distressing things. How do we become light? We are the light. In our second reading, Thomas Merton talks about experiencing a thin place in Louisville at the center of a shopping district. He discovered he felt joy in being a member of the human race. He saw people walking around shining like the sun. He said, "At the center of our being is a point or spark. It is like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It is in everybody. We carry that light. We carry the divine within." Notice, as Thomas Merton said, the light of heaven is in everyone. When Teresa of Avila said that we are not merely sparks of God, that God actually lives in us and makes us beautiful by his light, she didn't qualify it by saying, "Well, God lives in only some of us." That means that the divine is also in those on the opposite side of the political divide, those people who don't share our views on social justice. In our Lenten reflection last week, we heard Joan Chittister discuss the Beatitudes on the Nonviolent Jesus podcast. She said that peacemakers see life as a family for whom we are all responsible. We do not judge, and we don't, under any circumstance, seek vengeance. We bear responsibility to reshape the world. We work for people, not against people. This is quite the challenge. Todd Weir says in our first reading that we need challenges in our spiritual life. He said, "I value that the ethic of Jesus invites me to open my heart a little wider than comfortable. The essence of the Beatitudes reminds me that I must embrace the hard places, go deeper in my faith."